This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Mokhtar and Wong Xiaoning. Now, we're following up on Pakatan Harapan's Presidential Council statement that was issued on Wednesday, in which PH gave the government an ultimatum to fully announce a plan to address the issue of subsidies and cost of living within 24 hours. In the absence of such a plan, the coalition will take a number of steps, including mass mobilization with civil society and other groups. The PH Presidential Council also said the ministers responsible must resign if no plan is forthcoming.
This move came after the government announced that the ceiling prices for chicken and eggs will be removed from July 1st, along with subsidies for bottled cooking oil. PH argues that the end of the ceiling price without a clear plan will only burden the people. Earlier this morning, we spoke to political analyst Dr. James Chin, who said that PH needs to deliver on their ultimatum in order to maintain credibility. So what can we expect from PH as GE15 looms?
We're following up on these questions with Fahmi Fazel, Communications Director of PKR, one of the component parties of PH, of course. Fahmi, good morning. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Now, 24 hours have passed since the PH Presidential Council statement, and we're all anticipating what steps PH will take next. Before we get to what you're planning on, I do want to ask you what response PH was expecting from the government. Could there have been a response that would actually satisfy the opposition?
I think if we were to look at the administration, especially since the change of government in 2020, there doesn't seem to be much, how I would put it, ministerial accountability, in the sense that there doesn't seem to be much sense of, you know, taking ownership of the problem. We have heard, for example, the leader of the opposition in parliament berate the National Council on Cost of Living, NACCOL, for being so slow since last year to have meetings about cost of living issues. And the minister in charge, or the ministers in charge, seem to be either pussyfooting, they seem to be very slow. So for me, as a lawmaker, I'm not expecting very much from the ministers in terms of that kind of, I don't think any real ministers have really resigned as a sign of failure, unlike what we've seen in other jurisdictions, where, for example, in Indonesia, the president changed his minister because of problems regarding cooking oil prices.
So, Fahmi, from the statement, PH is supposed to mobilize demonstrations to protest the rising cost of living. I want to know what would these demonstrations solve?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, when you encounter a wide ranging problem, usually there's a lot of disenchantment. There's a lot of sense of frustration, anger, and peaceful gatherings as an expression of what society is feeling is something which is legitimate in parliamentary democracies. And it's something which, you know, we should encourage, just as a sign of, you know, how, letting Putrajaya know how people feel. So I think that in the first place is legitimate. We cannot delegitimize something which is essentially a way for people to express themselves. When you shut down or shut off that valve, then you will see that manifested in other ways. Right now, of course, we're seeing a lot of, you know, talk, chatter on social media. But in order to get the government going, they have to understand how serious and widespread the discontent is. And having some kind of public manifestation would show that to the government. Whether the government takes any action, really, there are a lot of political considerations. I think, the Prime Minister himself is not in an enviable position, being attacked by his own members of his own party. So, you know, it's a very complicated political landscape at the moment.
So, Fahmi, you're saying PH is planning to take to the streets in protest of rising cost of living?
I think there are, for example, we've heard some members of the youth wing come out and make some statements. I think it would be premature of me to make any announcement on their behalf. I think any mobilization effort would come with clear instructions, details, and I'm sure something would come out probably within the next maybe, you know, within today, maybe. But it's not my place unless I have received specific instructions to communicate it.
Because, Fahmi, if there are no demonstrations, then wouldn't there be the issue that whatever announcements you make don't actually hold, you know, don't carry any weight? People won't take it so seriously then, whatever the opposition says.
Yes, you're right. So that's why I won't be ahead of, you know, any announcements that are to be made.
All right, Fahmi, fair enough. One of the things I have been wondering, though, is Pakatan Harapan is calling out the government for not putting forth the plan to counter the rising cost of living, yeah? But why hasn't PH put forth its own solutions to address this issue? I mean, you're not in government, but you were, and surely there are ideas from the PH side.
Yeah, actually, I remember being in some meetings. Okay, a lot of it has to do with data, access to data, and really granular data, whether it's both macroeconomic data as well as detailed granular data from different states, from different prices. Yeah. Mm. And when we were in the administration, I remember the minister of KPTN HEP, Saifuddin Nasution, he was relating to us, I think it must have been end of 2019, early 2020, before Sheraton move, obviously, about the kind of work that he was doing, preparing for a targeted subsidy delivery mechanism. And at that time, you know, the early work of Pakatan Harapan in terms of whether it's reducing subsidies or tapering it off, providing some kind of soft landing, and really changing the way we deliver subsidies. Yeah, I think this is something which is very important for Pakatan Harapan. A lot of it is about efficiency. A lot of it is about making sure those who really need it get it. When we saw previously with BRIM, for example, there were people who were ineligible, but somehow they got it. And we're still hearing, for example, you know, anecdotes. I for one, as an MP, get complaints from voters who say they are eligible for Bantuan Sara Hidup, but were, you know, for various reasons, not in the list. So again, when it comes to targeted subsidies, which would be more progressive, obviously, which would be better, we do need some detailed mechanism. So Pakatan Harapan was working on that. Saifuddin Nasution was working on that.
Yeah, but you have one now, right? Because honestly, Fahmi, you all have been in opposition longer than you've been in government. And in a lot of countries, you know, opposition parties, they come out with a shadow budget, like an alternative budget. So if these are the problems that Malaysians are facing, why hasn't Pakatan come up with an alternative solution that we can read and judge for ourselves whether this is workable or not?
Yeah, I think that's a very good expectation. Yeah, I think a lot of Malaysians expect Pakatan Harapan to be able to do that. This is something which I, for one, am not in a position to speak. We do have a committee on cost of living. It's headed by Hassan Karim, the MP for Pasir Gudang. So if there is going to be any statement about this, I'm not going to cross lanes. So I will, I think it will be Hassan who will be making any announcements on that.
Okay, let's take a look at another a pain point maybe, but another hot point for the opposition, and that's the MOU with the government and whether it has yielded the expected outcomes. Could you give us a status update on the MOU? Is there a chance that it's going to be extended? Have there been discussions on this, whether internally within PH or with the government?
Yeah, I'm a member of the MOU steering committee. We've had one meeting probably in the last month. And in that discussion, a lot of it was about the anti-hopping law, which we hope will be tabled by the first week of the next session of Parliament, which begins on the 18th of July. And, of course, we were expecting for it to be through a special session before the 18th of July. But for various reasons, you know, the onus is on the minister and on the government to set that timetable. And this is what they have agreed to, they are agreeable to, and that's what we will stand by. And right now, out of 18 items, 14 have been completed. There are another four. So the anti-hopping law is one, limiting the tenure of the prime minister to 10 years or two terms. That's the second one. Mm-hmm. Putting together a Parliamentary Services Act to ensure the independence of parliament. That's the third one. And to make amendments and reforms to the parliamentary standing orders to make sure that whatever gains that we have gotten via the MOU will be put As a matter of, you know, it'll be there, not something at the whim and fancy of whoever is in the government. So these four things will be the last four things which we will work on in this version of the MOU. Whether there will be an MOU 2.0 or something like that, that's something which I think some have alluded to. But as far as the steering committee is concerned, there has been no serious discussion on it. If anything, there has been informal discussions, perhaps within the setting of between individual leaders, but not at a stage where these are the things that both sides see as common ground to work on if there was an MOU 2.0. Again, the misconception is that the MOU ends on the 31st of July. This is false. There's a clause in the MOU which states that the government agrees not to dissolve Parliament before the 31st of July. But the MOU stands as long as Parliament is not dissolved. So if Parliament is dissolved on the 1st of August, so be it. If the Parliament is dissolved on the 15th of July 2023, which is the last day before automatic dissolution, the MOU stands until then. So whether there is an MOU 2.0, right now, I think there are people on both sides who would want to see it happen because largely the gains have been these kind of critical legislative reforms, administrative reforms. And when you talk about, for example, some things like political financing bill, which is not in the MOU, but because of the kind of work that we're doing in the steering committee and such, the government is amenable to discussing this idea.
All right, Fahmi. Thank you very much for speaking to us and sharing us the updates. That was Fahmi Fazil, Communications Director of PKR, also member of Parliament for Lembah Pantai, letting us know what to expect from Pakatan Harapan moving forward. 8:59 in the morning, we're heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin. After that, we'll take a look at how the FBMKLCI opens. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.